right. I want to call your attention for just a few moments tonight to the book of James chapter 4. We were going through the book of James on Sunday morning until just a few short weeks ago, and we kind of turned our attention toward Christmas. And would like to finish this book up, and I'll probably be doing it on Sunday evenings. But James chapter 4, and I want to start with verse 10 here. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Verse 10 through the remainder of the chapter. Verse 10 says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Come now, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we'll go to such a city and spend a year there, buy, sell, and make a profit.' Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that.' But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of looking into your word. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to grow in you. And I pray that you would take this word and let it sink deeply within us. That you would teach us your ways, Lord. That you'd give us insight, Lord, into your desires for our life. And that you'll give us a zeal to serve you faithfully every day in which you give. Lord, we love you. And we love you because you first loved us. And you proved that love upon the cross of Calvary. Now, Lord, we pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to start with a question, and that question is, are you different at the end of 2017 than you were in the beginning of 2017? Is that different to the good or different to the not so good? Are you better, spiritually speaking? All right? I'm not talking about riches or anything like that. I'm talking about spiritually. Are you better on this, the last day of 2017, than you were the first day of 2017? If not, you've missed something along the way. Because are we not supposed to mature? Are we not supposed to spiritually grow every day? There are three things I want to challenge you to work on this year. Okay? I want to challenge myself to work on this year. Number one, I want to humble myself before God. Humble myself. I want to voluntarily arrange myself under the guidance and the direction of Almighty God so that when God speaks, I hear. You know, God does still speak. You know that, right? He speaks through His Word. He has a direction for this church. He has a desire for me. And He has a desire for you. But the problem is, if I'm going to know His desires for this church, His desires for me, I'm going to have to tune in, if you will. And if I tune in, I'm going to have to know my place. That is, when God speaks, I've got to listen. Do you know, rightfully so, I'm not entitled to an opinion in dealing with God? There should never be any such thing as, "I don't want to." Jonah tried that, didn't he? He spent time in the belly of the whale until his want to got fixed. Yeah. It doesn't even matter if I like it. What matters is that I voluntarily say, "Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do." That is humbling yourself before Almighty God. And that's challenge number one. Challenge number two, I want to appreciate the brethren. I want to learn to better appreciate the people in our church family. And James, as he writes, he says that he reveals the first thing that we're all going to have to deal with, all right? And that first thing is, do not speak evil of the brethren. I want you to notice he's talking about brethren, all right? Brothers and sisters in Christ. And the reason this is so important, it is so easy to do. Now, you know what it means to speak evil, right? It means to speak angrily about or hostility toward a brother. And so, it's so easy to do. For example, Brother Kelly is a good guy, but and I'm not going to finish that statement, Brother Kelly.
Thank you.
It's so easy for me to decide whether Kelly's a good guy, or Ken's a good guy, or Dale's a good guy, or not. And that's what we're talking about here. Oh, I left Brother Michael out. Brother Michael's, you know, it's so easy for me to decide, are they doing what they're supposed to be doing? Are they what they're supposed to be in the eyes of the Lord? But you know what? That's not my job. It's not. You say, yes, it is, Brother Doug. You're the pastor of their church staff. Well, it's my job to give oversight to them. But you see, I have a higher job that I'm going to share with you in just a moment. When I just sit back and look at people and pass my judgment on whether I think they're doing a good job in the service of the Lord or whether they're doing things I like, and it becomes me being the judge, I'm just wrong. As a matter of fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:11, but now I've written to you not to keep company. I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. Oh, no, it's not. I wanted to point this out. Alright? We're not to be a judge. However, we're required to judge. Okay? We're not to be a judge, but we are to judge. There's a difference. And the reason I bring this out is because people often say, well, who are you to judge me? Well, when I'm judging, when I say that the lifestyle that somebody is living, for example, if they were a homosexual, if they're living with someone outside of marriage or immorality, yes, I have the right to speak up and condemn that lifestyle. Not only the right, I have the responsibility to condemn that lifestyle. That's what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 5:11 before I got ahead of myself there. He said, but now I've written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, covetous, an idolater, a reveler, a drunkard, an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what do I have to do judging those also that are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? So we are required to exercise judgment. But we're not required to be a judge. Why do you think that is? Because I don't really know what God is doing in everybody else's life. I don't really know what everybody else is going through. Yeah? For example, you may be making decisions that I don't like. But there's always a reason that we do what we do. And we don't always know the reasoning. For example, as a pastor, stick around me long enough, I'm going to do something you disagree with. All right? It's got to happen. You have a choice to make. You point a finger and say, well, that Brother Doug, he's, you know, he doesn't care and he doesn't have a heart. And but you know what? You become the judge. And you know what else? You do not know what it's like to be a pastor if you're not walking in those shoes. You do not. You don't know what it's like to be a college minister, a youth minister, a music director, an outreach director. Therefore, we can't afford to be critical and judgmental of one another. But we do have a responsibility toward one another. Okay? And our responsibility is to edify one another. That word edify, Romans 14, 19, therefore let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things which by which one may be edified. 1 Thessalonians 5, 11, therefore comfort each other and edify one another just as you also are doing. That word edify means to build up. It literally means to build a building. But as it's used in the interaction of people, it means to encourage, to make better. Do you realize I'm supposed to be better because of you? You have a responsibility toward me to make me better. Spiritually better, I'm talking about. I have a responsibility towards you, toward our church staff, toward the membership, to make or help you become better spiritually. That's my goal for 2018. I want to make you better. I want to appreciate you for what God is doing in your life, and I want to help you to make you a better child of God. And you say, that's right, Brother Doug, you should because you're the pastor. No. We all have that responsibility. Okay? Ken has it for Michael. Michael has it for Brother Randy. Brother Randy has it for Brother Don. We all have that responsibility. Let's take that responsibility seriously. It's easy to tear down. I mean, we all have plenty of stuff that we can point out and tear down one another about. But in 2018, let's make one another better. Okay? Let's make one another better. Then the third thing I want us to work on in 2018. All right? Value every day that God has given. He said, you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. It's interesting that this time of year is the time of year we're supposed to be making New Year's resolutions. Do you make New Year's resolutions? I've learned I don't do that anymore. Because they last about 2 days, if that long. You know, the reality is, I don't know what my life holds in 2018. I don't even know what my life holds this next week. I can make my plans, but obviously, God's the one that's in control. Therefore, my only guarantee is right here, right now. That's what I've got. Right here, right now. What are we going to do with right here, right now? And we've got to live this way every day. Psalms chapter 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days, or to reckon, or make an accounting. Do you realize that every day is an important day? Every day. We may not have tomorrow, but God has given us today. What have we done with it? Well, I hope most of you, if not all of you, have been to worship today. Yeah. I think that's a good use of the day. Some of you have taught classes. Some of you have been in Sunday school. But you've used the day for the glory of the Lord. Amen. Now, if God is gracious enough that you wake up tomorrow, are you going to wake up with the attitude of, Lord, this day is important. What am I to do with today? Here's the thing. You will never get a day back. So spend it wisely. Do you keep track of your money? How many of you keep, you know, a balance in the checkbook? Why do you do that? Because it's important. And that's all you got, right? You get paid, you've got to make that last till the next time you get paid. Well, I want to suggest to you that if in fact the Lord wills and you do wake up tomorrow, tomorrow's important. It's all you've got until, if by the will of God, He gives you the next day. And I think it's something that we've got to ask ourselves, what am I going to do with today? Lord, what do You want me to accomplish today? And I realize, you know, we're not going to church every day. We're not going to knock on doors every day. We're not. But I also believe with all my heart, God gives us every day for a reason. And that reason may not be that we're working 24/7. It may be that today God has given me a day of rest. If God has given you a day of rest, then rest. He rested, didn't He? But spend each day so that at the end of that day you can say, Lord, I've done my best to accomplish what You've given me this day to do. Otherwise, we have wasted a day. That's why James wrote in verse 17, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. He didn't write that as a general term like we often preach and use it, you know. Well, for him that knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. No, he wrote that connected to what he's saying here. He's saying, don't boast yourself of tomorrow. You don't know that you have tomorrow. All you have is today. And since all you have is today, if there's good that you're supposed to do, you better do it today. Because to him that knows to do good, and he does not do it, to him, he's missed the mark. Yeah? Doesn't that make sense? I challenge you this evening. Be deliberate in the way you spend your time in the coming year. Time's too precious. I have come to the realization, people told me this all my life, and I didn't believe it. But the older you get, the faster the time does go by. It really does. When I was a young man, summer was forever. Now, I don't even get going good. Summer's over. It seems like it's just been a few weeks ago we began 2017. And I look back and I'll have to confess before you know, I wasted a day or two in 2017. I did. This year I pray to be more deliberate in how I use my days. This year I pray that God will keep me mindful to appreciate and to encourage the growth of every member of Victory Baptist Church, because that's what I'm here for. This year, I pray that God will help me to remember to humble myself under the mighty hand of God. Because you know, that is a command with promise. I want to be all I can be for the Lord Jesus Christ. If He wants me to be a soul winner, I want to be the best soul winner I can be. And He does. He wants me to be a pastor, I want to be the best pastor that I can be. But for me to be the best that I can possibly be, it starts with my willingness to place myself underneath the authority of God. If 2018 will be successful for any of us, it will start with humility, arranging ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Why? Oh, I said it was a command with promise. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will what? He will lift you up. He will make you the best that you can be. He will give you the strength and the power to do things you can't do. He, the power of God, will change things. It starts with arranging yourself under God. You may be here tonight, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to encourage you, first of all, begin your walk with Jesus tonight. I want to encourage you that you don't want to face 2018 without Jesus. It will be a poor year without Jesus. Okay? But when you know who holds tomorrow, tomorrow doesn't really matter. You know what I'm saying? Or you don't have to worry about tomorrow. Yeah. Are you a child of God? If not, during this invitation, would you come? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for the challenge. Lord, this is your work. We are your children to be used as it pleases you. Lord, help us to be mindful that our place is under you, awaiting your orders, awaiting your leadership. Lord, tonight we just want to arrange ourselves under your leadership. We want to open our ears and ready our hearts to hear from you. And Lord, we pray that if you give us just today, or if you give us all of 2018, that Lord, we may live to your glory for all the time that you give. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand?